Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 4. As you keep it open for you, we are very pleased and thankful to the Lord for the classes that we have here. And our subject is the basic elements of loudly. If you speak, you know, I'll be very happy. So that I know you're all here. I know we can have a good time together. Fine. Basic elements of Christian living. As you consider this topic, we were thinking that we could study this topic under various headings. Christian and his faith. Then, Christian and his finance. Christian and his food. Christian and his foes. Christian and his future. Why do we want to study all that, you know? As we have seen in the first class, Christian and his faith. And I thank God in the next class also, you could hear and read something more about faith. Faith is something very basic and elementary for our Christian living. And make sure, and this classes, you have that faith in God, faith in scripture, faith in various aspects of our life. And as you continue that, you know why I'm saying? Because the next subject that is before us is Christian and his foes. Why are we studying like that? Because when you consider faith in your Christian life, that brings us to the relationship with God. It is faith that brings us in relationship with God. Once we are brought in relationship with God, then we are expected to have fellowship with God and also with God's people. And if we have to continue our Christian life, God has made us as a good steward in this world. So we must know how to handle our finances, various things God has committed to our trust. So it comes that a Christian needs to sustain his life, and there is a food for a Christian provided in the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There is a food for a Christian. In between there is a family, you know. We are all set up in a family. And in a family, with the relationship within the family, to dad, mom, brothers, sisters, you know, as a family, God wants us to be a witness for Him. You know why? Because when it was said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And your... You don't know that verse? And your household... God is concerned not only saving you as individual, but through you, if you are born again and brought to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, your family members may be brought. That's why the next and the last topic could be for a Christian to know about his future. A Christian only, and let me repeat, only a Christian has a bright future, a real future, a true future. And before we enter into that future, we are here in this world. And as we are in this world, we have all struggles of temptations, troubles of various things that are, you know, stopping us in our progress in our Christian life. There could be many reasons for that, and we would like to call it as a foe of a Christian, enemy of a Christian. And that's why in this class, we want to know the essential understanding about this foe, the enemy. It could be the conflict that you and I are in. How many of you are born again here? How many of you are sure about your salvation? So good. How many of you are baptized? Those who are born again and baptized. Okay, hands down. Anybody who are born again and not yet baptized? Very good. Quite a good number. Fine. How many of you are not sure about your salvation? Not yet born again. Doesn't matter, you know. Yeah, okay. Good. Couple of you, fine. So whichever condition that you are in today, whichever state that you are in today, there is an enemy for us. If you are a born again child of God, there is an enemy. And we want to know his tactics, we want to know his power, we want to know who is this enemy and how is he working in this class. As you consider this enemy, we want to first of all identify this enemy. And you will be surprised to see that he is not one given in the scripture, but he is threefold. Threefold enemy. And what is it? First of all, we find the world as the external enemy of a believer, of a child of God. The world. Secondly, the flesh, the old nature, is the internal enemy. Thirdly, devil as the infernal enemy. If the word infernal is not known to you, you can write infernal means pertaining to hell. Hellish powers of darkness. And we call it devil. So threefold enemy. External enemy, internal enemy, and infernal enemy. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And how solid it is, you know. These three are there, but these three have their combined attack on a child of God. They doesn't decide among themselves, now, oh world, okay, you have influence on this person. Now later on, the flesh says, I will take over. Then devil says, okay, after you finish both, I will come over. No. There is a combined attack of all these three and at all the times. The world from one side, the flesh from inside, the devil from outside. And various things that are coming in the life of a child of God. A combined attack, but also a constant attack. Continually, at all the times. Whether you are at home, whether you are in the school, whether you are traveling in a bus or a local, in a college, in your working place, I don't know where the temptation will come and attack you, where it will overpower you and stop you, hinder you in your Christian life, in your walk of faith with the Lord and His people. It can come from anywhere. And that's why, actually, time on hand is very less. Whichever the slides are prepared, I will not be able to go accordingly. But something very important and very personal and very practical I want to turn your attention to, apart from all this, the slides that are made for this class, for which I ask you to turn to Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 4. When you consider this threefold enemy and its constant attack and combined attack, look at this. When the Lord Jesus Christ was in this world, even He was not spared of him. And what is that? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 1. Notice. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones, he be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdom of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. May the Lord bless the reading of His holy word. Who is tempted? Who is tempted? The Lord Jesus Christ. By whom He is tempted? By Satan. Where He is tempted? In the wilderness or in this world. When Son of God became Son of Man and came for your salvation and my salvation, as a man, as a perfect human, when He was in this world, beloved, He was not spared of world. He was not spared of devil. He was not spared of flesh. And that threefold attack, that combined attack, you see in this verse itself. If he was not spared, how can you and I expect ourselves to be spared from this enemy which has combined attack on each one of us? Anytime we are liable to be caught by him, then how shall we escape? As far as I am concerned, let me tell you, when I was a young man like you, just accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, that time I was just 18 plus or 19. I was doing my training in the Indian Air Force. I had a very bad habit, now I can say it, or a weakness with me. I was given up to the movies so much. Along with my work, while I would like to find out time that in a day I can see 3 or 4 shows, doesn't make a difference. I was so much addicted to watch movies. Then I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ while I was doing my training there in Bangalore. And I still had that weakness with me. I don't know how many of you can confess that. But being born again, you still have that problem with you and not able to overcome. Maybe you can listen to this. I had that struggle. Then I went to the senior brothers, the born again brothers who were helping me in my spiritual life. And I told them my struggle. Sometimes I walk like this and sometimes I walk like that. Means what? Sometimes I walk like a believer and sometimes I indulge myself with my unbelieving friends. And I don't find any difference, because after coming back home, from inside I feel a kind of guilt in myself. I want to say no to it, but I'm not able to say no to it. Then a dear brother who told me like this, he said, "Albert, take this." He gave a small little visiting card. And on that visiting card, the verse was written. He said, "Memorize this verse." I said, "Fine, very good." That verse was 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now, 30 years have gone by. This was given when I was 19. Don't try calculating how old I am. Well, I am 49 by now. But what I memorized when I was 19, I have not forgotten, because that verse has helped me so much. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." You know why did he say that? He said, "Albert, you memorized this verse." What was the problem, you know? The place where we were having our first training center in Bangalore, that whenever you come out of that gate, you know, we are supposed to book out and book in. Yeah, we have to book out, means that we have to take a permission to go outside the camp and again book in, take permission to come in. So we have to write in the register, show our identity card. And the moment you go out and in, my goodness, what a problem. Because on the corner there at the gate itself, there was a theater. Yeah, and that theater always will have a big posters, big posters, you know. And usually the posters are very attractive. In other words, straight away, very seductive. When you look at the poster, you know, a kind of desire is created in you. And you would like to know and see, oh, what it would be. Why that actor is seeing like this to that actress. A kind of scene that they project on the poster, that you have a desire, you know, somehow to go and see what is next. And that was my struggle for many days. I said many days. As I go out, I look at the poster. As I come in, I look at the poster. And sometimes I ditch my believer friend in the barracks. I slowly go, take a ticket, go inside, see the movie and come back. But after coming back on my bed, I'm struggling. I'm not comfortable. I'm crying. I'm saying, "Lord, I don't want to do, but I'm doing it. What can I do?" Then this brother told you, "Take this verse." And then I memorized that verse then and there. And he said like this, "Whenever you walk out of the gate or walk inside the gate, Albert, just keep reciting this verse." So that was my habit. Whenever I walk out of the gate, no temptation has overtaken you. That is not common to man. God is faithful. Look at the poster and keep saying the verse. Look at the poster and see the verse. I tell you, it took little time for me. Not a perfect man. It took little time for me. But I could overcome that. Why do I say that example? I don't know how many of you are trapped by devil, trapped by world, and caught up in the activities of the flesh. I wish I could show all those slides to you. And the way that the world is working in our life, the way the flesh is working in our life, the way the devil is working in our life. In this example which we have read in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me bring before you a very important aspect, because devil has only one strategy, and it's a very powerful strategy. He used it in Genesis chapter 3, and he tried to use it again in Matthew's Gospel chapter 4, and he continues to use it in 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 to 17. Did you write down that? Write down these three columns. On first side, Genesis chapter 3, the strategy of devil, right on the top. On the left, first column, Genesis chapter 3. Second column, Matthew's Gospel chapter 4, / Luke Gospel chapter 4. Then third column, write down 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. You want a pen? It's mine. Afterward you should return to me. It's okay. Afterward you give it back. Don't worry. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16 and 17. And you know what is it? It is very simple. At all these three places, you will find he is using only one strategy. With first Adam, with last Adam, with sons of Adam. You and me. And what is the strategy? For all that is in the world, is lust of the flesh, is lust of the eyes, is pride of life. All that devil could use as a strategy to let you and me not progress in our Christian life is just this threefold. That's enough for him. I wonder, you know, we Christians are planning so many strategies to say no to sin, to avoid sin, to do this and do that. But devil has one powerful strategy. He used then, he is using now. And many have fallen prey to it. It is a very powerful strategy. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. He used it with first Adam, right in Garden of Eden. And what happened there? It's a good comparison, you know. When you compare the first one with the second and second with the third, you can draw a precious lesson. But in this class, I will just highlight few things which are necessary as a teenager in our Christian life to say no to this foe enemy and overcome this temptation, overcome these problems that you and I are facing daily in our life. And may I tell you, I said you and I, there is no age bar for this. Any person, any length of Christian life he or she has lived in is liable to fall or be defeated by this enemy whose strategy is very strong. It is lust of the flesh. It is lust of the eyes. And it is pride of life. When I talk these three words, I don't know how many of you are caught up in the sins of flesh. What do you mean by sins of flesh, uncle? Well, you can read Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. When you read Galatians chapter 5 verse 19, it says like this, the works of the flesh are manifest. You don't need to hide. It is manifest. You may try to hide, but you are facing the consequence of it. Why I want to highlight this point before you, dear children, is because of, I read only the center point of this, that is Matthew's Gospel chapter 4. On one side is an example of a first man, first Adam, who has fallen prey to it. And he lost the paradise. He lost the blessings. He was cast out of the Eden. But here is second man, or the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is victorious. How he was victorious? What made him success there? What did he know about devil? How did he quote the scriptures? Why did he always say, it is written, it is written, it is written? How did he use that sword of the word of God and overcame? And what can you and I do when you and I are living and facing this enemy constantly? I just want to draw this principles before you. And as I say this, you find in this combined attack and constant attack of this devil, flesh and also the world, the strategy is same. Any one of you are caught up in the sins of the flesh? you have to examine yourself in that list which is mentioned, which is written to the believers at Galatia, not to unbelievers. There are secret sins and there are secret faults which are controlling lives of young believers. And that's why the charm, the glow of Christian life is gone from them. And they are not able to progress in their Christian life. I don't know which sins of the world that you are caught up in. What are the sins of the world? What is that system that is working behind it? What is the seductive power of this world? The very word world comes from a word known as cosmos. From cosmos you get a word cosmetic. A cosmetic which means has an kind of appearance which can appeal your attention. Is it not seen all around us? In the dress code of individuals, in the advertisement, in the internet, in the cell phones that you are using, the kind of messages that are exchanged, you call it a Facebook or which book, and you will be shocked if I take you to so-called sites of Facebooks and open the Facebook account of so-called believers. You will be shocked to call them as believers. Their keen interest on the actors and actresses, their inclination to the world of music, the world of sports. You will be surprised to know what is there on their account and whether you can call them believer or not. Outside everything is fine. Dad doesn't know, mom doesn't know what is recorded there, what is kept there. But it's open to all others. Are you controlled by any sins of the world? Are you controlled by any sins of the flesh? Are you controlled by any sins of the devil? When I read this account, I just want to draw your attention to something very important, because devil has used the same strategy with the Lord Jesus Christ and he has overcome. How he has overcome, before I tell about that, let me tell you five things that the devil knows about an individual. What are those five things? Look at that. First of all, devil knows our person. Devil knows our person. If you look at verse 3, we read about him saying to the Lord Jesus Christ like this: if thou be the Son of God. Look at verse 6. If thou be the Son of God. Look at verse 3 and later part of it. If thou be the Son of God. He has knowledge about an individual. He knew who he was. You can read that in Job chapter 1 also. He knew how Job was. God is giving testimony about Job, but devil knows who Job is and what kind of Job is, what kind of life he is living. And so he is questioning God and asking to remove the hedge around him, and he will deny God on face. He has knowledge about an individual. He has knowledge about the person. Not only the knowledge about person, but also the knowledge about the plight of a person. What was the plight of a person here? Look at that verse 2. As far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, we find it is mentioned there. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. He knew the very plight in which the Lord Jesus Christ was. May I tell you? He knows your weakness. He knows my weakness. He knows our weakness. And that weak area only, he can take you and trap you and tempt you and lead you into it. He not only knows the person, but also knows the plight of a person. Because he was hungered, he knew about it after 40 days. That's why he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made into bread. Could the Lord do it or not? I think he can easily do it. Just easily do it. Whenever I read scripture, I compare that with another account given in the scripture, you know, in John's Gospel chapter 21. You find he was at the shore, the Lord Jesus Christ, risen Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter along with other six have left following the Lord Jesus. And they have gone for fishing. But they caught nothing. Yeah, yesterday we read about Luke 5. It's the same incident the Lord had to repeat for Peter once again to be restored in John 21. But when he was restored, I find something unique there. They caught the fishes at the word of the Lord Jesus, and he knew it is the Lord, and he shouted, "It is the Lord." By the time they came to the shore, they found, the Lord said, "Come and dine." The meat and the food was prepared for them. There were fishes and there were also bread. I am asking a question to myself. From where did the bread come to the shore? It doesn't make me to accept it for the sake of making that which is needful to be done for them to be restored. The Lord could turn the stones to bread and provide their needs at the seashore. He could do that. You know, whenever there is any weak area of your life, you know, this you should not see, which you tried to avoid, you could not do it, He will again bring it before you. He knows the plight of a person. And only those temptations in which you are liable to fall in will be brought before your eyes. Look at the third thing there. When we find, He knows, He has the knowledge about the places also. You see how He has taken the Lord from place to place. First in the wilderness, then in the temple, then on the holy mountain. And each place, He knows where to tempt whom and which way. You're in the house. You're in the college. You go to the assembly hall. You sit there but you're not there. You know your mind is dwelling on something filthy, something which you should not think about. You're not able to sing along. You're not able to read in the scriptures. You're not able to concentrate on the messages which are being preached there. Things are just going in and out, making no difference. Devil has overpowered. He knows you as a person. He knows your plight or your weak areas. And He also knows the places where He can tempt you. It could be your bedroom, which should be actually supposed to be filled with the scriptures. Scripture writing on your walls. But go to the young man's bedroom today. There will be a sports star. There will be a music star. A big poster hanging there. There should have been verses there. If the verse would have been there, that verse would have given help to us to overcome that particular temptation. How sad it is, you know. Somehow it is being controlled by Him. And He knows in which place to tempt which person for which plight of that person. So He tried the same thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the wilderness, He asked the stone to be turned into bread. In the temple, He has another thing to ask Him. On the holy mountain, He shows the whole thing to Him. Bow before Me and I will give the whole world to you. And at each time, only one strategy the Lord Jesus Christ used. Use it. You can also use it. You know what is that? It is written. It is written. It is written. But when I say that, I want to tell you the fourth point of the way the foe attacks us. When the Lord was saying all the time, it is written, it is written, it is written. And let me tell you, unless and until you and I memorize the scripture, meditate on the scripture, hide the scripture, hold the scripture, hear the scripture, there is no other way you and I can overcome the temptations. Did not Uncle Binoy say you in the morning? Because we have no inclination to the teaching of the scripture, learning from the scriptures, we have messed up our lives. Have we not messed up? Because we are not reading the Bible. We are not meditating the Bible. We are not hearing the Bible. We are not memorizing the Bible. If you read Psalm 119 and verse 11, what does it say? Psalm 119 and verse 11. So good. We can all hear.
Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
How good. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Have you hidden the word? When I am saying, quoting verses, you know, it has not come automatically. In the age that you are in today, instead of keeping a money purse, we were keeping a memory verses pack. You can buy visiting cards, 100 visiting card you will get for 20 rupees. Select the biblical scripture verses, write it on it, and instead of money purse, you keep the verses purse in you, your pocket, with you. Wherever you stand, whether you travel in the bus, stand at the bus stop, take out that pack and start memorizing the scripture. Only the word of God can help you to overcome. The Lord used the word of God. But when I say that, let me tell you the fourth point. Satan not only knows the person, the plight of a person, the places where the person can be tempted, but also Satan knows the precepts. He knows the word of God. But he will always dilute that. He will always misuse that. He will always half quote that. Misquote, in other words. He has the knowledge of the scriptures. That's what he used with the Lord Jesus Christ also. Is it not written that if you jump from above, he will order his angels and his angels will come and hold you? Truly it is written in Psalm 100 and Psalm 91. But if you read that next verse, you will be surprised. When you read that quoted verse of Satan actually in Psalm 91, you know, he has quoted only half the verse. He has misquoted that verse and he has omitted the later part of that verse, because the later part of the verse is talking about his defeat in the future days. How Son of Man is going to trample him under his feet. How he is going to be defeated once and for all. He is not talking about it. Be very careful. When Satan comes to us, he sometimes come even with a partial scriptures. Your friends will say, where it is written in the Bible that you should not see movies? Is it written? Does the Bible say you should not see movies? Does the Bible say you should not smoke? Is it smoke written anywhere? No. Does the Bible say that you should not do certain things, you know, in a clear, legible words? It's not sometimes written. But I don't feel that specifically to be mentioned for a child of God. A child of God is being controlled by the Spirit of God and led by the Word of God in the fellowship with God. So he doesn't need those things to be told to him specifically. I know this is wrong. Even without the Word of God, my conscience itself reminds me, you know, this is right or wrong. Does it say to you or not? Your conscience, does it speak to you? It speak to you? It always speaks to me. Whenever I do anything wrong, first voice comes before I start thinking on doing that. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. But I say no to my conscience and I step in and do it. After doing, I have the guilt of it for a long time. Is it happening with you or not? Be very careful of this enemy. His power is very dangerous. He knows the person. He knows the plight of a person. He knows the places where a person could be tempted. He knows the precept. But finally, when you find in that passage itself, you will notice the persuasion of the enemy. He is very persuading. He will not leave you at one place. At first occurrence you have failed, he will not leave you. He will come again. If second time you have failed him, he will come third time. He will not leave you until you fall prey to him. He is very persuading. You will find him persuading the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one temptation, but second. Not second, but the third. But in all three occasions, and all those three words which are spoken there, they speak about the same strategy I said: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And all three times the Lord quoted the verse and defeated the enemy. And remember, just after he has done that, we read in the scriptures, and the angels came and ministered unto him. I don't know how many of you will know and agree about it. And know the secret of the ministry of angels for a child of God. It is there. The good angels are the ministering spirits given to a child of God. I am talking from Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. They are ministering angels. You know, they are guardian angels. They are protecting angels. They are providing angels. The Lord would do that in the life of a person who is able to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. The time for my class is gone up. That's why instead of showing all other slides, I just wanted to highlight on this one aspect. The world is attacking. The system of the world is very dangerous. I'll just show you what all that world can do to us. While we talk about this threefold enemy, I thought I will talk about the threefold help available for a child of God. Over against the world, you have God the Father. Over against the flesh, you have God the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall not make provision to gratify the desires of your flesh. Walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit of God will help you to overcome the flesh. Over against the devil, you have the help of the Son of God. A threefold help available for a child of God. While all those things are there. But when you consider the world, you think about the system of the world. When you think about the world, you think about the seduction of the world. When you think about the world, you think about the snare of the world and also the spirit of the world. Everything in the world is anti-Christ, against Christ. And if you say you belong to Christ, it will always attract you. It will always appeal you. It will always call upon you. It will always lead you to sin. Be very careful. There is a coordinator behind this world working. In the course of the world, there is a coordinator of this world. And he is called the Prince of the Power of the Air. Do you know what is Prince of the Power of the Air? Why is devil called like that? Now this is remote. You have mobile phone, it is remote. You have internet connection, you have Wi-Fi. What is happening is all happening in the atmosphere. And what's passing through the atmosphere is something very dangerous. He is the Prince of the Power of the Air. The whole thing is under His control. What you talk on the cell phone, what you pass on the SMSs, the MMS, the various clips that are going on. Oh, how seductive it is, how dangerous it is. Sometimes you like to follow all that. But remember, behind all of those things that you are likely to indulge in, there is the Prince of the Power of the Air. And He will not spare you. This is what the world is about. Just to show this and then to stop. Maybe you are slowly becoming cold in your Christian life. Because you have given up to too many, reading of too many papers. Or handling too many periodicals. Or watching too many programs. Or attending too many friends and parties. And you are becoming cold in your Christian life. You were not like that. But it all happened slowly into your Christian life. Slowly you started drifting. It always happens slowly in one's life. I thought I will talk about the flesh. The definition of the flesh. Or the deeds of the flesh. The sins of immorality, the sins of idolatry, the sins of relationship, and the sins of indulgence. You can categorize that in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. But there is also the defeat of the flesh. And it is only when we walk in the Holy Spirit who can be easily grieved. If we commit sin or live unholy life, we are liable to fall in a sin like that. It is my urgent prayer to the Lord. I could just go on showing the slides to you. But it will not make any sense. Unless I take each one and explain to you. But maybe what we have read. From Matthew's Gospel chapter 4. Think of first Adam, he failed. Think of last Adam, he was victorious. Think of the children of Adam, he is using the same strategy. And only the Lord Jesus Christ who overcame can help you and me to follow the same pattern and overcome the world, overcome the flesh, overcome devil. The external, the internal and the infernal enemy and their combined attack on us. What shall I do, uncle? What shall I do, uncle? Come to the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Meditate the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. And the God of the Word will help you to overcome temptations in your Christian life. May the Lord help you and me to identify our foe, to stand against him, and give ourselves more to the spiritual things, that the Lord might make you a good Christian, along with the good company of God's people, to live for His glory. Shall we bow our head? Gracious God and our Father, we are thankful to You that in this little time we could talk so much of you. For there is an example for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to thank you, for there is none like him. As we look at this scripture, dear Lord, if there are some youngsters who are caught up in some sins of this world, sins of the flesh, or trapped by devil in various other activities, O Lord, help them to identify the foe and to follow the pattern the Lord Jesus Christ has given, that we may live a victorious Christian life. If there is someone need to confess something, give them urge to forsake that sin, to confess that sin, and to consecrate our lives afresh unto you and live for the praise of your glory. O Lord, we thank you. In spite of all such combined and constant attack of devil, flesh and the world, you have given us a great provision in the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. May we look at you, dear Lord, and have this help available for us. Trusting in the Lord, we might follow thy precepts and thy word and live a victorious Christian life. Bless each one of these children and help them to live a life of an overcomer for the glory of God. In the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.